Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody is having a blessed day today. I got a lot of articles for you, a lot of news going on today. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Oh, Austin, I'm doing great. It's absolutely beautiful here today. We're actually picking up some sandbags and some other things to do today. So it's been a lot of fun, and we're having a blast. I mean, people don't realize when you put sandbags down, it's almost as much work to pick them back up. the only difference is that these bags, hopefully they'll last longer, because usually they only last about 7 or 8 months in UV light. So I'm going to put some UV protection on top of them outside and cover them with some Visqueen to keep them dry. And that way, in the event that something else happens and the globalists decide to send another storm our way, we'll already have the bags done. Because as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, and I'm not going to walk in fear. And these guys can all pound salt and collect rocks as far as I'm concerned. I want to start on something positive. Hey, I've got 8 positive things you can do to help to create a positive life environment for you and your kids. And I read an article on this. I'm going to paraphrase part of it. Some of it's kind of weird, so I'm not going to talk about that. But I want to talk about the things that it's talking about. Focusing on your life goals. You know, you need to have 2 sets of goals. You need to have intermediate goals, and you need to have a superordinate goal, which is a goal which means the primary goal where you want to accomplish it. There was a study that was done in a major university several years ago, and Zig Ziglar talks about it, of people who were graduating back in the early 60s. And about 30 years later, they went back to the people that had graduated. There were about 200 of them in the class. And they had found that the people that established written goals for themselves had accomplished, which were about 5% of the general population of the graduates, had basically accomplished more than 95% of the other 95%. In other words, the 5% accomplished more than 95% who had written down their goals. You say, well, how in the world does that work? Well, it gives your mind and your spirit a focus. It really, really does. Because if you don't set goals for yourself, you become what Ziglar called the wandering generality. And you don't have any specific purpose in your life. You've got to have a reason to be here. It's like when I came out of retirement almost 6 years ago now, and I decided to do what we're doing and start the show years ago, there were specific goals in my life to make sure that I maintained a specific reason for being here and being part of the planet. That's one of the most important things. And Zig Ziglar said something a long time ago. I'm going to kind of paraphrase him on this. He said he could take anybody who couldn't even pull a bow and arrow, who'd never shot a bow and arrow before, and within 2 to 3 hours have them shooting the bow and arrow as well as the last Olympic winner in archery world competition within a couple of hours. And I thought, how in the world is that possible, Zig? I mean, it's like impossible. Then finally he puts a caveat on it. He goes, but there are some things I'd have to do. Number one, I would have to spin the Olympic athlete around and put a blindfold on him while I'm spinning him so he couldn't see which direction his target was, where his shooting was supposed to go. And then Zig said, and you say, well, how silly is that, Zig? How can a man hit a target he cannot see? And his response next was, how can you hit a goal that you do not have? You've got to set goals, personal life goals, spiritual goals, relationship goals, financial goals. Everything needs to be put down in writing. Get a goals board. I used to do that all the time. I haven't done that for a while. I need to. And basically put a goals board on your refrigerator. You know, if you have a certain goal you want to accomplish, put a picture of whatever you want on the refrigerator so it remains in your vision all the time, so you can always think, thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you, Lord, for this. Because ask as if you've already received it, and it shall be given unto you. Because remember, guys, without a vision, my people perish, is what the word says. Number two, you need to connect with the world around you. And what does that mean? That means that you can't be dwelling on the past. You've got to put the past in your rearview mirror, and you've got to be with the future and what's coming down the road. Number three, take responsibilities for your commitments. Guys, if you say you're going to do something, do it. Don't try to not do it because you didn't want to do it anymore. Oh, gosh, I can't tell you how many times I've made commitments to do things when I was younger, and I'd choke through it. Oh, gosh, I'd choke through it. And one time I made a commitment that I couldn't keep for various reasons. I felt so bad that I couldn't do it. And I thought, wow, I've learned from this. And I've now am very careful about making commitments. You can't believe how many people want me to come speak at their churches, or speak at their conference, or whatever, or do their shows. And I simply can't do it because I know that I only have so much energy to spend on this show, and on Hagman, on Hodges and Sheila's, and Caravan at Midnight. and I can't spread myself that thin. I can't do it. Now, every once in a while, you can pick up a show or do something that you know you don't have the energy to do, but you can't do it on a consistent basis. That's really, really important. Next, be patient with yourself and realize that, you know, God's not finished with you yet, and you can continue to grow and develop, but God, through the Holy Spirit, is going to do that for you. And number six, practice small acts of kindness. Mark Twain, he said it so succinctly, kindness is the language which the deaf can hear and the blind can see, end quote. Here, I'm going to say it again. Kindness is the language which the deaf can hear and the blind can see. And number seven, be comfortable and open to change. Realize that things are fluid in your life, and that things can go up, things can go down, but there are always going to be waves in your life. I remember John Paul Jackson, the prophet who died a few years ago from leg cancer, he actually prophesied over me and Sharon, oh, back in the 80s, late 80s, early 90s, long time ago, 30 years ago, and he said, one of the words that came out of his mouth were change, change, change. He saw that in our lives. Don't be afraid of change, because guys, listen to me. Business goes up, business goes down, business goes up, business goes down. If you're in a relationship, in a marriage, that's great. Every once in a while, you guys are going to get in an argument. But you should be realizing that you need to continue to pursue a great marriage and a great relationship. That's really, really important. And finally, pray. Pray every single day. Pray without ceasing. Pray in the morning. Pray out loud. Pray with your family. And make sure you have your spiritual time. Go to church. Do what you need to do. Now, if you say, well, I don't want to go to church. I don't have any kids anymore. Big hassle. I got to drive. Okay, whatever. Watch it online. Do whatever you need to do. I don't want to argue with you about that. But if you've got kids at home, you need to be in church because they need to have an example set for them. You say, well, they'll get it because I'll talk to them about the Bible, etc. No, they won't. If you don't take them to church, they're not going to take their kids to church, period. I've got some friends over in Celebration, great family. And I've told them repeatedly, Christian family, I've told them repeatedly, you need to take your children to church. They don't want to. They don't want to take the kids to church because it's inconvenient. They got to get up in the morning, etc. And they do Bible studies at home. I say, guys, the Bible says that we cannot forsake the assembling of ourselves together. There's nothing like the corporate anointing that we all need to work together on. So, guys, always strive to be your best. Pray like it's all up to God and work like it's all up to you. And you'll start really, really learning how to be positive in your life and how to attract the positive things of other people into your life. And men will pour into your bosom, as the Bible says. But you've got to have a pleasing personality in order to do that. And you've got to strive to work with other people and to be, you know, bringing honor and glory to God. So there you go, Austin. That's my introduction. What's your first story and what do you think?
Well, that was an excellent introduction, boy. That was some very, very wise words. And, you know, you can also apply the goals thing as well to health because, you know, we talk to people all the time about that. If you've got yourself in a position where, you know, you're having issues with being 50, 60, 100, 200 pounds overweight, trying to get blood pressure under control, trying to get blood sugar under control, set goals, as Dad just said. Say, hey, I want to lose 20 pounds or 30 pounds by the end of this year. I want to lose 5 pounds this month, or I want to try and get my blood sugar down by the end of the year. Start setting goals for that, because a lot of times where you have gotten as far as with your health, it did not take a couple days or a couple weeks or a couple months or a lot of times even a couple years to get to the point you are now. So go easy on it and don't be so, you know, oh man, I've absolutely done this. I can't live with myself anymore like this. This is horrible. I have to change. That's good. Focus that in direction, but also set your goals in the right direction and start doing incremental goals as far as what you want to do for the week, for the month, for the year. As far as nutritionally, I've always done that as far as with weightlifting and diet, especially when I used to compete, because you have to have constant checkups as far as what you're doing every week, weigh-ins, dieting, see how your food intake is, see what your caloric intake is, see what your exercises need to be that week, and factor in what vitamins you need to be taking. If you have to budget in extra money, say, hey, next month I'm going to get this supplement or get that supplement. I want to get the cinnamon extract to get my blood sugar down. Those are all really good things to do, because a lot of times it can become very overwhelming when you want to do all this stuff at one time with your health. And that's why we're here at Health Masters. You can call us on Monday through Friday and we'll talk to you on the phone. As long as, you know, we're helping you. We don't like to do third party consults because those usually don't go anywhere. But if you're wanting to change, we're more than happy to give you some great advice, give you some great nutritional advice, and help you get in the right direction as far as what supplements to start on, Dad. So that was some really, really good advice you started off with today.
Oh, thanks, Austin. I've got an article here I want to read. This is when I read this, I thought it was a spoof, but it's not a spoof. It was on Fox News. an author down in Miami says, this is her name, Sarah Jaffe. She's saying that the Florida looting crackdown is white supremacy. And because it's primarily blacks who are doing all the looting, and they're being locked up in jail. And now she's saying it's because of white supremacy that they should be forgiven because they shouldn't be punished. Someone replied to her and said, you're saying non-whites can't help but steal, so they shouldn't be punished? Seriously? And he goes, keep your racist opinions to yourself. I mean, this is crazy that people actually believe this, and they're actually getting traction on the internet with stuff like this, that it is white supremacy, that the primary majority of all the looters are black in South Florida. And I think it's sad. I think it's sad. It has nothing to do with white supremacy. They are just wanting to go out and steal stuff. A lot of these people are just bad people. There's bad white people, bad black people. But you've got to ask yourself a question. Why is the primary prison population in the United States black when they comprise 20% of the population? I know I'm not supposed to say that. That's the way it is. And there's a cultural problem here that these parents are getting divorced. And a lot of these guys are being basically, they're having a bunch of children outside of wedlock. A lot of these children don't know who their dads are. And when you do that, because of the Great Society program that Lyndon Johnson set up with this massive welfare state that we have going now for the past 50, 60 years, what it does, it creates a cripple. Zig Ziglar said, if you want to make a person a cripple, give them a crutch. If you want to really screw up a nuclear family, take the daddy out. Get rid of the daddy. Have these black guys being raised by their mamas, who a lot of them are basically just sleeping with whoever they want to sleep with so they get more money from the government. And the same thing happens with white people, so I'm not just picking on blacks here. And you have a social welfare system that continues to go for generations, forever, because there's no nuclear family. Same thing happens with Hispanics. So guys, it's really important that we understand that we have to maintain the family unit, and we can't allow ourselves to be part of this one family, one parent household nonsense, because it doesn't allow that person, that young man, to have the ability to have that proper interaction with his father on a regular basis and his dads. Remember, guys, we have to be godly parents. It's so important, and we certainly can't be telling people that it's a racist white power thing that blacks are running out and stealing stuff. That's complete and total nonsense. I can't believe bobos are like this that actually believe stuff like this. What do you think about that, Oz?
Well, my advice to her, I mean, if that's the case, then I would say, well, go ahead. If that's how you feel, you should probably open up your home and say, you know, if you feel like you need to rob somebody, come rob my house. I don't want to be racist about it, so I want you to go ahead and take all of my stuff, loot my house, and take everything I own, and that way, you know, it'll be fair. But I didn't see her make that comment, nor will she ever imply or express that comment, because that changes the whole dynamics of what her statement said, because you actually call her out for what she's really saying. So yeah, people like that are just ridiculous. But also in other world news, this is pretty wild now too. Venezuela now has reportedly stopped using U.S. dollars in oil trade. They came out now and said that they essentially are done with the United States after the United States put more sanctions on them last month. The Venezuelan president said he's looking to free himself from the U.S. dollar now. Venezuela is going to implement a new system of international payment and will create a basket of currencies to be free from the U.S. dollar. He said, if they pursue us with the dollars, we'll use the Russian ruble, we'll use the yuan, we'll use the yen, we'll use the Indian rupee, and the euro, Maduro also said. We're absolutely tired of this. And so this sounds to me, guys, be very, very aware of what's going on, because there's a good possibility there may not necessarily be a false flag, but now I can almost guarantee you we're getting spooled up to invade Venezuela now for some ridiculous reason that comes up, that gets cooked up by the Pentagon or the CIA or the deep state. They're going to say we have to invade Venezuela for the good of their democracy, or we need to spread freedom, or whatever idiotic logo or slogan they like to use when they invade countries. But this is where it's headed now, because remember, guys, Russia has already come out now and said that the BRICS are wanting to use euros, or not euros, excuse me, rubles, and also to the yen and gold to start trading in oil now with the BRICS country. Remember, he came out last week, we talked about this, and he said, Russia shares the BRICS country's concerns over the unfairness of the global finance and economic architect, which does not give due regard to the growing weight of emerging economies. We are ready to work together with our partners to promote international financial regulation reforms and to overcome the excessive domination of a limited number of reserve currencies. To overcome the excessive domination of this, to bypass the U.S. dollar as well as the petrodollar. This right here goes into exactly what we've talked about, guys, as far as the United States putting those ridiculous, unjust, unbridled war sanctions on Russia last month, putting them on Venezuela, now threatening to put them on China. These guys are done playing ball with the petrodollar, and in my opinion now, I think that the United States dollar is on its way out. I think the globalists are stressing about this because if you guys look at it, if you guys look at the U.S. reserve currency, I looked at a chart earlier today, the longest reserve currency in the world was Spain back in 1645 is when that ended, and it was 110 years. The only next one after that was Britain, which ended in 1920, essentially 1919, and that was 105 years. Well, currently from 1920 to now, we're at 97 years, guys. So in a few years, we will literally be at the same level that Britain was as far as the length of the world reserve currency timing, meaning it's on its way out. And in my opinion, the Rothschilds who own all this and the central banks, they wanted to roll the petrodollar and the U.S. dollar into whatever you want to call it, the U.N. global currency or whatever name they want to come up with it. And now you have Russia and China, two of the biggest guys on the block, wanting to start trading in gold. And now Venezuela saying they're blatantly not going to trade in U.S. dollars or petrodollars anymore. This is really going to start some serious instability in the markets right now. I don't know if this is what the Rothschild and central banks actually want, if they're just playing this on both sides, or if we actually have a war between both of these groups now of trying to take domination and control of the world currencies. Dad, what do you think about all this?
I think the Rothschild banking cartel is running both sides against the middle. I think they're controlling this is the BRICS nation. This is Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, now apparently Venezuela. And what's interesting about this is that the Rothschilds already control the reserve currency in China. So it's just what they've done. They've extracted the wealth out of the United States. They already own our Fortune 500 corporations. When they got rid of Glass-Steagall, they were able to take their money from the banks and buy up the stock markets, which was illegal until Bill Clinton basically got rid of that Glass-Steagall. So they've extracted the wealth from our country. Our country's hopelessly in debt now, hundreds of trillions of dollars with derivatives, quadrillions of dollars. And they know that. And there's really nowhere else to go. That's why so many of the Fed chairs are empty now. And we even have this last Fed boy who's basically was the Treasury guy in Israel. He's bailing out now on Friday the 13th in October. So this is an interesting thing that's going on with Trump right now. It's almost like he's neck deep in the swamp. He doesn't know what to do with it. Another article that I want to cover today is that Amazon now is deleting hundreds of one-star reviews of The Witch of Benghazi, Hillary Clinton's new book. This is crazy. What many have dubbed a flagrant intervention by Amazon to seemingly boost the rating of Hillary Clinton's horrible new book, What Happened. And subsequently, many others have observed firsthand that Amazon has been monitoring and deleting one-star reviews of Hillary Clinton's new book, which was greeted with a torrent of criticism on the day it was released. Wow. I mean, this is absolutely nuts. In fact, the one-star, 50% initially out of 1,600 reviews on this were one star, 46% were five star, pretty much everything else in the middle, and then just a few hours later, there was like 1% one star, and 97% five stars. It shows screenshots in this article of Hillary's book being completely and totally manipulated with reviews. Guys, where do we live? What is this? This is like a joke now, what this country's turned into, when the Witch of Benghazi can come in and get a five-star rating and none of the reviews saying that she's bad are even being counted. What do you think, son?
It's Amazon at its finest with manipulating and controlling the market. Yeah. They've done this on every single aspect with their predatory pricing to their absolutely ridiculous ad tracking. You notice that they do that. Everything you do, they track you on there and they try and push all this product to you that you may like. You may also like this or you may also like this. On top now, they're deleting comments and deleting stars, making sure that they push up whatever product. You got to remember, the owner of Amazon owns the Washington Post, which is incredibly liberal, super pro-Hillary, supported her significantly during the campaign, which shows you right there he's a leftist globalist, blatantly. So, of course, he's going to do everything he can to support her. There's no telling how much money, time, support, blackmail, who knows what goes down the list that Hillary Clinton has involved with Amazon and the owner of Amazon. There's no telling. So for him to do that and then blatantly to go out of their way doesn't surprise me at all. But it does show you what I've been telling you guys before, that Amazon is not your friend. They are not for the consumer. They are not about providing people unbiased, true reviews on their products. They are simply there to do whatever the highest bidder tells them to do. That a lot of people argue with me at that. They say, oh, well, Amazon's really helping out, you know, the retail market, the consumer. They give us the best pricing. They give us Prime. They give us all that. Okay, I got that aspect. But it's only doing that to increase their size in the marketplace and to increase their profits. When it comes down to them actually giving unbiased reviews, them actually giving you true news, them actually helping the consumer in that aspect, you see exactly what they do. They start deleting comments, they start deleting reviews because they want to make sure nobody sees the truth about what an absolute satanic nightmare she is. Also, too, in other news, out in California, the Berkeley, University of California in Berkeley, which has been, you know, huge controversy over the last months with all the Antifa protests and everything else. Now, Ben Shapiro, the conservative Harvard law grad that basically is very, very accurate and very educated on a lot of different topics, he's going to speak at the campus tonight, and they have absolutely unloaded law enforcement all over this campus. Apparently now, Berkeley is tired of being absolutely condemned by every single other university and media outlet that's true news about how bad they are at protecting students, protecting facilities, and protecting the well-being of people that are coming to speak there. They have literally brought in hundreds and hundreds of police officers now. They're going in now, and they've actually lifted their 20-year ban on using pepper spray and tear gas, and they're allowed to use that tonight on any individuals that are involved in any illicit activity, they said. They also said if anybody is carrying a weapon or has a mask on, they will be arrested on site, no questions asked. So there's two sides of this now. One, we see this working perfectly in the globalist favor of bringing in a police state. Now we literally have to have hundreds of riot patrol police with tear gas in order to police Berkeley University when a conservative speaker comes in. And on the other side of it, we see that Antifa has gained so much notoriety and traction that everybody talks about them when they show up, and everybody is scared of them at the universities when they show up because they produce so much violence, and the paid protesters have gotten so efficient at being so violent that nobody knows how to handle them anymore. This is exactly how the globalists wanted this to play out, and we've had to fall right into it now, because if they don't bring in the law enforcement to this degree, the entire university will literally have hundreds of thousands of property damage, hundreds of thousands of dollars of property damage, again, like it did a few months ago when that one individual, I forgot his name when he was up there, and so that's what they're having to do now, Dad, at the university, because these guys have gotten so belligerent and so violent anytime somebody comes in that they don't agree with that comes to speak.
Well, the last one who was there was a gay Republican. And
yes.
I kid you not. Usually that's like an oxymoron, but he was a gay Republican. Of course, I can't say that with all the congressmen in Washington. There was gay Republicans up there. I mean, look at old Lindsey Graham, boy. He's one of those like a wow. Carries his own little purse around all the time. Said he had a girlfriend once. Well, I'm sure he did not. And so, just sorry I didn't talk like this. But guys, it's a joke. So that at least they don't care if the guy's Ben Shapiro or a gay guy. They're going to still treat him the same way. So we'll see what happens. Here's an article that I want to cover with you guys. It says, Who Rules America? It's an article by Petrus. And they said in the last few months, they've seen several things that are starting to identify themselves in the Trump administration. And I wanted to read this to you because I thought it was pretty good. It says, number one, the economic power elite, Israeli firsters and Wall Street CEOs. Israeli firsters dominate the top economic and political positions within the Trump regime and, interestingly, are among the administration's most vociferous opponents. In other words, they're in the top in the Trump regime, but they hate Republicans. These include the Federal Reserve Chairman Yellen, as well as her Vice Chair Stanley Fischer, who is resigning, who's also an Israeli citizen and former governor of the Bank of Israel. You got Jared Kushner, President Trump's son-in-law and an Orthodox Jew, sets up his top advisor on Middle Eastern affairs. Kushner, a New Jersey real estate mogul, set himself up as the arch enemy of the economic nationalists in the Trump inner circle. Then you have David Friedman, U.S. ambassador to Israel and fanatical supporter of illegal Jewish settlements, and Jason Greenblatt, special representative for international negotiations with three Israeli firsters determining Middle Eastern policy, and there's not even a fig leaf of balance. Then it says the Treasury Secretary, Steve Mnuchin, a former Goldman Sachs executive, and then you've got Gary Cohn, a longtime Wall Street influential, and you've got the influential voice of the Attorney General's office is Rob Rosenstein, who appointed Robert Mueller, the chief investigator, which led to the removal of the nationalists from the Trump administration. And then the fairy godmother of the anti-nationalist Moon and Cohn team is Lloyd Blankfein. Think about it. The fairy godfather of the anti-nationalist Mnuchin Cohn team is Lloyd Blankfein, who they used to work for, Goldman Sachs chairman. The three Israeli first banketeers are spearheading the fight to deregulate the banking sector, which had ravaged the economy, leading to the 2008 collapse and foreclosure. The Israeli first market elite is spread across the entire ruling political spectrum, including ranking Democrats led by Chuck Schumer, Senate Majority Leader, and Democratic head of the House Intelligence Committee, and Adam Schiff, the Democratic Party Israel First, have allied with their free market brethren in pushing for investigations. Number two, who's running Washington, are the military power elite, the generals. This is the one that scares me. I have a feeling that the CIA is controlling this branch and that the generals are really the one that are running the White House right now. And it seems odd to me in almost all the pictures that I've seen with Trump, there's usually always military personnel with him. That seems strange to me. The military power elite has successfully taken over from the elected president in major decision-making. That's a fact, and we've reported on that. Where once the powers rested with the president and Congress, today a collection of fanatical military men make and execute military policy, decide war zones, and push for greater militarization of domestic policy. Trump appointed four-star general Mad Dog Mattis, who led the war in Afghanistan and Iraq, as Secretary of Defense. Mattis, whose military glories include bombing a large wedding party in Iraq, is leading the campaign to escalate U.S. military intervention in Afghanistan, which we know, and you know as my listeners, is about Afghan drugs. Lieutenant McMasters, an active-duty three-star general, a longtime proponent of expanding the wars of the Middle East and Afghanistan, became the National Security Advisor after the purge of Trump's ally, Flynn, who opposed the campaign of confrontation and sanctions against Russia and China. Lieutenant Kelly, retired USMC, another Iraqi war veteran and Middle East regime change enthusiast, was appointed by White House Chief of Staff and once after the ouster of Rince Primus. And it goes on talking about Jared Kushner, Stephen Miller, Benjamin Netanyahu, and then we have the economic nationalist elite, the leading strategist and ideologue of Trump's national allies in the White House was Steve Bannon. He had been chief political architect and Trump advisor during the electoral campaign. Bannon devised an election campaign favoring domestic manufacturers and Trump workers against the Wall Street and multinational corporate free marketers. He developed Trump's attack. Of course, we know that he's been replaced. The anti-Trump alliance will now target the remaining few economic nationalists in his administration. These include CIA Director Mike Pompeo, who favors protectionism by weakening the Asian and NAFTA trade agreements, and Peter Navarro, chairman of the White House Trade Council. And then it goes on to Sebastian Gorka, and it talks about the business power elite, ExxonMobil CEO Tillerson, and it goes into this whole thing about all of these competing groups of power. You can read the article yourself if you'd like. And the analysis, the conclusion is this. The power elite cuts across party affiliations, branches of government, and economic strategies. It is not restricted to either party, Republican or Democratic. And it goes into detail on who's really running the country in this person's opinion and what in the world we need to learn. It says Americans have a lot to learn and unlearn. Our strategic advantage may reside in the fact that political life in the United States cannot get worse. That's the truth. We have really touched the bottom. We are really touching the bottom, barring nuclear war. It says we can only look up. This is a funny. This article is dead on point. It says we are at the bottom of the barrel. It can't get any worse with our politicians, and we can only lay in the bottom of the barrel now and look up and see sunshine, because it is the bottom of the barrel, especially when the Wicked Witch of Benghazi has her one-star reviews eliminated off of Amazon. This is absolutely nuts. This is a great article. You guys need to read it. Let me give you the full source on it. And I think this is really, really good. I read this today. It's Who Rules America? The Power Elite in the Time of Trump. It's through Global Research, Professor James Petras, P-E-T-R-A-S. Global Research is the article to read. It's really, really good. And guys, it's dead on point on every single person they're talking about and who runs these specific divisions. And guys, notice this article didn't mention the CIA. That's because the CIA runs and controls the military. This is bad, guys. That's the biggest problem we have right now. Because remember, these guys are beholden to the Sabbatean Kabbalists, to the sorcerers who run the Federal Reserve systems and who push the drugs. What do you think, son, and what's your next story?
Yeah, it is, it's pretty crazy, but I mean, it is really true as far as with that article. I mean, it's just gotten so bizarre with everything. It really is sad. Also, too, speaking of, spying technology, everything that's going on right now. The article now just came out of Sweden. As it seems to be, Sweden is pretty much turning into a beta test for just about everything. They're saying now a microchip embedded under the skin that's replacing credit cards and keys, according to Stephen Ray, is now already being used in Sweden's largest train-owned train operator that allows customers to scan their chips instead of using tickets. BBC News showcased the system in which Swedes are able to have their embedded chips scanned by a conductor who uses an app to match up their chip membership number with a purchased ticket. Around 3,000 people in Sweden have already been chipped as far as embedded in their hands. And SJ is the first travel company in the world to implement this system and is North Europe's largest train operator. But concerns about privacy have come up. When the program was launched, some customers complained that their LinkedIn profiles were appearing instead of their train tickets when conductors scanned their biometric chip. NBC News reported last year, which asserted that the microchipping of children will happen sooner than later and Americans will eventually accept the process as something just as normal as the barcode. This is getting progressively creepier. They've talked about this for years. It's 2017. I remember the news article years ago. I think it was on ABC or something. It was like back in like 2012. And they were talking how in 2017 people are going to be chipped. And as we see now, this is becoming mainstream. It's not even odd anymore to anybody. Nobody's like, what? I can't believe they're doing that. No, thousands of people in Sweden are doing this to the point that the North Europe's largest train operator is now accepting this. But to me, it would be pretty creepy. That's why I read this article when they scanned their chips and their LinkedIn profile came up instead of their train ticket. That shows you right there of the privacy concerns with having this information on you all the time. Because my next question is, you know, everybody talks about, oh, we have our credit cards and we have to protect this, and they get scammed all the time, and there's hundreds of billions of dollars in credit card fraud every year. What's going to prevent people from walking by you with a scanner and scanning your hand and brushing up against you, or, you know, trying to act like, oh, I need to grab something real quick, or, hey, what's over there? When you turn your head, they scan your hand. Obviously, train conductors already have this scanner. They just walk up and scan it. There's your train ticket. Where is this going as far as everybody wants to talk about, oh, you're protected, it's going to stop this, it's going to stop that? The chip's going to be on your hand. It's not like it's going to be hard to access. People's hands aren't covered on a daily basis. You use them. So I've never been a fan of this. It's way too eerily much like the mark of the beast, and that's where I think it's going to turn into the digital currency, regardless of what they want to say it's not going to do. This is where it's headed, in my opinion. But now all they're trying to do is to normalize it in the mainstream media to make everybody think it's okay and it's not wrong to do this now, Dad. So it's getting pretty strange now.
Well, you got to think about this for a second. You got all of these Christian leaders who need to grow a set of testicles, excuse my language, who have no testosterone, who are telling people it's okay to do this, that it's not the mark of the beast, and they do this with their little pansy sermons, wearing their little tight jeans and their little pushed-up sleeves, and telling everybody, send me money and you'll be blessed. Don't worry about all this. Guys, a lot of these guys, and I'm going to say this real direct, I know about this and I can't talk about names, but a lot of these guys are like on the payroll of the government and the CIA and a bunch of other folks, and they've gotten little hats tipped to them when they were younger as far as to be able to control them. I could give you a name of one person that everybody would know who I'm talking about, who was basically given the nod by a renowned Satanist that I can't really mention his name, who used to have a talk show in California years ago. So this is some crazy stuff. I mean, also the other thing, I got to say one more thing. You got to really watch the music and the worship and praise in these churches. You got to really watch the lyrics that are being played. They've got frequencies now they can play, and I'm not making this stuff up, that'll put you in a giving mood to make you want to empty out your bank account when they pass the bucket in the church. So some of these guys are that notorious, they will actually play certain frequencies and songs that they know will do this to increase the giving based upon frequency and mind manipulation. They say, come on, Ted, you're kidding. I wish I was, guys, but I'm not. And see, so that's why you got to be really careful. So when you have a pastor who's doing what's called responsive reading, when he's speaking stuff over you and you're supposed to repeat it back to him, I always listen to what he says before I repeat any of it. And you say, why do you do that? Because I don't want to confess a bunch of negative stuff on myself. I remember years ago I went to a conference, and it was through a friend of mine in Tallahassee. His name was Dave. And it was a group of men that were basically working, going together. It was a weekend retreat, a men only. And it was over there close to Lake City. And I remember they had us do this responsive reading stuff. And gosh, I can't believe I'm telling you guys a story. And this is crazy. And they started asking us basically to speak sickness and disease on ourselves and cursing ourselves. And they want us to responsibly read this. And I just shut up. I zipped up and I said, I'm out of here. Now, they wouldn't even let us drive our own vehicles. So they took us there by bus, multiple buses. And so, and then we were supposed to be silent all night and contemplate on what we had spoken and said. And so I went over to my buddy Dave and I said, I need to go back to my car in Tallahassee, which is a 100-mile drive. And he goes, well, man, it's like 11 o'clock at night. We're not going to take you over to your car. I said, it's too late. I said, nah, I'm not going to do that. I want to leave. And he goes, no, we're not going to do that. I said, nah, you don't understand, buddy. I said, I'm going to leave. I said, I'm going to take a taxi back if I have to. I said, but I'm leaving here. I said, this is some weird stuff you've got me involved in, and I don't want to be part of this. And then they had three more guys come into the room, and they did the little old, let's try to brainwash Ted Brower into staying here and all this other kind of nonsense. This guy, this is back in the early 90s. This is like, you know, almost 30 years ago. And I finally looked at him and I said, I don't think I'm communicating with any of you guys. I told you, I'm not staying here tonight. Somebody's driving me back to Tallahassee. And about 1 o'clock in the morning, I got back to Tallahassee. They drove me back. And I got myself a hotel there, got up at around 7 o'clock and drove on back down to Auburndale. And I thought to myself, what a weird group of people. Guys, the church has been infiltrated by some really big-time charlatans. And you've got to really watch yourself. So when they're asking you to do responsive reading in the church and you don't know what they're going to say, listen to them before you speak it over yourself. And secondly, you got to tell your church to cut down on the bass and the music. And you say, why are you talking about the bass and the music? Guys, I've been in churches before where your paper's actually shaking from the bass and you feel it thumping through your entire chest. You know, these low-level frequencies are not good for spiritual growth. They're not good for spiritual, of going higher in the spirit. They're not good. And so, you know, that's when you go to these rock concerts, it's always boom, 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 all the bass pumping through you. These churches have to realize that we're beings of frequency, and we don't need this huge amount of bass playing through the doggone sermons and through the praise and worship. We don't need any of that stuff. You say, well, Ted, you're sounding like, kind of like weird now. I'm not being weird. I'm just telling you some stuff that I know that you guys need to know, and make sure your church is playing really good, wholesome, good lyrics, worship and praise music, not singing. You know, got one church I went to one time, they had a song back in the 90s. It was like, Hear Us, O Spirits of Darkness. And they're singing this in the church, right? And I'm like, why are we singing to the spirits of darkness from our church? why do we have any interest in singing to these things? And I'm like, guys, sure enough, that church made the local newspaper about singing to the devil. And I thought, this is crazy. Guys, be very careful of the music you put in. I talked about rappers yesterday. I talked about that nutbag, whatever her name is, the one girl has gone completely wacko now. Stay away from these really horrible lyrics, and always think about what you're saying and what your kids are listening to. By the way, Planned Parenthood is now teaming up with Satanists to promote abortion in Missouri. Breitbart, I'm going to repeat it. Planned Parenthood teams up with Satanists to promote abortion in Missouri. Missouri has reportedly doubled its abortion capacity this year thanks to the Satanic Temple and Planned Parenthood, who have worked in tandem to fight the state's restrictions on abortion. With some of the most clearly defined regulations on abortion in the nation, Missouri had managed to lower the number of abortion facilities to a single clinic, but a second Missouri clinic had opened its doors recently, and two others planned on following soon. Planned Parenthood has battled against state regulations requiring abortion clinics to meet the same surgical center standards as full hospitals and for their doctors to have hospital privileges. And in April, a federal court sided with the abortion giant, which was backed by the local groups of Satanists. Guys, this isn't okay. But this is something that I want to show you today, because these guys are pulling the gloves off now, and they're actually showing who's working with Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood and abortions, in the vast majority of cases, are a satanic worship, allowing the energy of these children to be released. Guys, it's some sick, sick stuff, but life begins at conception. A little 4-year-old, 5-year-old, 6-year-old, 7-year-old baby in the womb can hear what you're saying. They can hear the music you're playing. That's why mamas sing to their babies all the time, because they're singing to their child that's inside of them. If the husband and mom are getting in a fight, that baby hears everything. Everything. So women, if you're pregnant, eat clean. Exercise as safely as you possibly can. Take your supplements. Listen to really good praise and worship music and talk to that baby. That's why I'm going to say this again about that scumbucket Bill Cosby. And you heard me call him that, because I know the guy who said to Lori, who was the Peter Lowe liaison, who picked him up at the train station in Philadelphia for the seminar he spoke at for us back in the 90s, he started screaming at Lori, who was 7 months pregnant, cursing her, calling her every name in the book, and told her if she did not want her unborn baby to hear his filthy language, she needed to get out of the limousine. That's Bill Cosby. That's who Bill Cosby really is. So yes, I am not a big fan of Bill Cosby. So I thought I'd mention that to all of you guys. Austin, what's your next story?
Well, yeah, and as weird as all that stuff is with Planned Parenthood now, new article from the Daily Caller shows up now, at least 11 big mayors of big cities accused of child sex-related crimes now since the end of 2016. The latest one, Seattle, Washington. The mayor of Seattle, Washington, Ed Murray, just resigned yesterday after a fifth man publicly accused a Democrat of molesting him as a child. There's been at least 11 now current mayors at the time who have been accused of child sexual abuse-related crimes since the end of 2016. The allegations range from child porn to physical abuse to rape. The alleged victims were as young as 4 years old. And it goes on a list of all the ones, and I'm not going to get a detail in it because a lot of it's just weird stuff I don't even want to talk about. But that shows you that 11 mayors, guys, 11 mayors since the end of 2016. These guys are getting busted left and right all over the place for what they've been involved in with this weird, weird pedophilia stuff that some of these guys like up in that upper level. And it's the same thing Dad just said. For some reason, and not all of them at all, but a lot of these guys, they get in these big positions of power. The way they get there is essentially being compromised somehow and either blackmailing, having blackmailing on them, doing stuff. And it's very, very sad that we see that now, but the fact that these guys are getting busted, especially for doing sick stuff like that, I'm very glad to see that happening, Dad, because those people don't belong anywhere but in a jail cell for that type of behavior. They especially don't deserve to be a mayor of a city like that.
Up to 50% of the congressional people right now in Washington, D.C., up to, now I'm not saying it's 50%, up to 50%, could be busted right now for underage sex you know, whether it's, you know, with women, with girls, or with boys, and for pedophilia, and for drugs, and. This is why Hillary Clinton gets the pass. Hillary Clinton knows where the bodies are buried. She buried a bunch of them herself and probably had a bunch of bare bodies buried for a bunch of other people. That's why she gets the pass. What happened to Seth Rich is what I want to know. This whole thing's just crazy what's going on. By the way, the Equifax data breach could affect 143 million Americans. Equifax credit monitoring company was hacked, and data as many as 143 million Americans was stolen. Equifax says the hack... Guys, that's half the population, okay?
I know.
143 million Americans. Okay? Equifax says the hack occurred sometime this summer and includes social security numbers, birth dates, addresses, and credit card numbers. Guys, here's what you've got to understand. Maybe that's... This is just so important. Freeze your credit. Freeze it. Call your credit bureaus and tell them you want your credit frozen. You say, what does that mean? That means nobody can look at your credit unless they have a PIN number. Unless they have your PIN number to open up your credit file to not be able to take credit out. That means if somebody tries to hack into your data to try to take a loan out in your name, which happens all of the time, by the way, they can't do it because they don't have a PIN number, and the people you're getting the loan from, they can't view your credit report. I can't tell you how many times I'll be at a car dealer with a friend, and I'll be, because I know a lot of dealers here, and I'll say, guys, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to run a credit check on me. Well, you have to sign the papers for a credit check if you do that. I said, that's fine. Here, let me give you the paperwork. And they sign a credit check because I said, I want to know what my Beacon score is. And they'll run the credit check on me on three of them, Equifax, TransUnion, and the other one, TransUnion, whatever they are. And what ends up happening is they always come back, you don't have any credit. I said, what do you mean? They said, well, the credit file is closed. There's nothing there. We can't see any information on your credit cards, on you, or whatever. So, yeah, okay, that's great. And the reason that happened was years ago, the post office lost one of our payroll shipments, as far as it's not money, it's just checks that we use for a payroll company. They lost it. And everybody's social security numbers got basically compromised. And I gave everybody the opportunity to freeze their credits and do that like I did. And we've done that probably 15 years ago, and we never changed it. It may probably 20 years ago now, because it gives you so much security. You don't have to pay some credit reporting agency every single month to protect your credit when your credit's frozen. Nobody can get a loan out in your name. So important. And it was so funny. I did all this. Like 2 months later, the doggone payroll checks show up. They were all covered in dirt and grime. They pushed behind some machine in the post office, finally got delivered. I just laughed and I said, well, I'm going to leave it the way it is. You remember when all that happened, Austin? And the craziest thing about all of this is, guys, it's easy to do. Just do a credit freeze. That's what it's called, a credit freeze with all three, TransUnion, Experian, and Equifax, that's the other one. And that way you don't have to worry or be concerned at all about somebody taking out credit in your name. Now, credit card numbers being hacked, that's the problem, okay? Because if they've got your credit card numbers and your expiration dates, they can start wreaking havoc on your doggone credit cards. So just make sure you monitor those statements every month. Austin, what do you think?
No, you absolutely have to. You have to be very, very careful if you're using the card, especially if it's a business card and you're constantly using it for gas and product and stuff like that. You have to be very, very careful to monitor it on a regular basis, because these guys have gotten very good at hacking this stuff now. And that's why I said before, everybody wants to talk about how, you know, this chip is going to be so fantastic. Guys, the level of privacy that we have now, the level of security we have now with the digital currency that we have with the credit cards already, which that's what it is, it's digital currency on a credit card, essentially. It's so easy to be hacked. I mean, if 143 million people could have gotten compromised with this Equifax hack, I mean, that's, to me, that doesn't even seem like it's plausible as it was just a hack. That seems to me like it was an inside job. I don't even understand how you can get that much information. Why in the world they didn't have a lot of the information spread out on different encrypted servers? Why the heck that was all in just one specific position that you could go in and not even have to try? You literally just hacked the system and they got all the information. I mean, that's insanity to me. I mean, it really boggles my mind. But also in other news too, speaking of privacy now, the voice recognition technology has gotten so crazy. I talked to you about yesterday, the new iPhone's coming out now. It has facial recognition and voice recognition turns on immediately without you have to touch a button on it. Well, now the smart TVs, we know they listen to everything. We even saw the weeping angel that the CIA built, the malware that went in and listened to you on your Samsung TV, even when the TV was turned off. Samsung has even issued warnings before all that got released about internet-connected smart TVs, saying that anything you say in the vicinity of the device could be overheard. They released this now in their privacy policy, stating, and I quote, "Please be aware if that your spoken words include personal or other sensitive information, that information will be among the data captured and transmitted to a third party." This is where it's going now with your privacy. And now, according to Samsung, they've introduced a new expanded voice recognition technology to other products, including their new refrigerator. The reason why I brought this up, when we were at Lowe's the other day, looking at actually getting some piping for the drainage we were doing, drain water out of my yard with sump pumps, which is fantastic. But it didn't get in my house. The sandbags kept the water out of my house, which, thank you, Jesus. I was blessed on that, so I just had a lake for a yard, but it went away. We fixed it. But we went and looked at that Samsung TV or refrigerator, which is like $4,700 retail. Insane. And it's set up. It's got a giant screen on it. I mean, for what it does, I mean, it had a total touch command on it. It literally, you could ask it for the time, weather updates. It would search the internet, give you news, play music, radio, shopping lists, see what's inside your fridge without opening up the door. It's really cool. I mean, for a refrigerator aspect, it was pretty cool. But from a privacy standpoint and allowing your stuff to be hacked and people to listen to your daily basis and monitor what your food consumption is and literally see every aspect of your life, it's unbelievably creepy. And when you know that Samsung already allows this stuff to be heard and be transmitted to a third party, they tell you about the privacy policy. This is insane now, how we actually have appliances spying on us, and they've been doing it for years. We've been talking about it for years, but now they're not even trying to be low-key about it anymore. They're blatantly telling you when you buy it, yeah, this stuff listens to you. Yeah, it's transmitted to a third party. Hey, be sure if you're in front of your TV, your microwave, your toaster, your refrigerator, your washing machine, don't say anything sensitive because it's going to get picked up and recorded and sold to a third party. Just FYI. Now go ahead with your $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 purchase of our appliance now. Please come, give me your money. And it's crazy that we're voluntarily giving up our privacy just to have a little bit extra convenience with some of these appliances, Dad. It's really wild to me.
It blows my mind too, Austin. In fact, it's just a creep fest. I remember years ago I had a computer guru. This guy was like a brilliant guy. He could hack into anything, do anything. He was like, you know his name. His name was Kevin. I'm not going to give you his last name. And I remember he worked for us in IT. And I looked at his iPad one time, and he had a piece of tape over the camera. And I said, "Why do you have tape over the camera?" And he goes, "Well," he goes, "I don't want him looking at me." And I said, "Why don't you want him looking at you?" He goes, "Because it's none of their business what I'm doing." He goes, "If I'm having a relation with my wife, they don't need to be watching me." And I said, "You don't mean that. You don't really mean this. This is like 10 years ago." And he goes, "No, that's exactly what I mean." And I said, "You mean they have that technology? They can turn that camera on?" He goes, "Instantaneously, because they can do that." And so I figured he's a lot smarter than me when it came to electronics. So I have to tape over my cameras on my iPads, and I just don't think it's any of their business what I'm doing. So that's how I look at it. So when I figure somebody a lot smarter than me with this stuff told me that, I'm going to listen. By the way, this is an article by Hayes, and it says the doctors admit at least 20% of medical care is not needed, but is administered anyway thanks to the fear of lawsuits. I don't think it's 20%. I don't think it's anywhere near 20%. I think it's closer to 60% of medical care is not needed, but is administered anyway thanks to fear of lawsuits. And the reason they do this is you get into this labyrinth of medical care, and one lab test comes to another lab test, comes to another lab test, comes to another lab test, comes to another test, and pretty soon you got $25,000, $35,000 in lab tests and hospital visits, and you've been there for 2 days. And this is the problem with medicine today. If a person comes in with an upset stomach, why don't you just let them like have some cabbage juice or drink some aloe vera juice and see if they get better, instead of putting them through like a gauntlet of tests for 4 days in the hospital. See, that's the problem that we have with medicine. And the article is right. A lot of these guys have been sued so many times that they use that as a justification to give all of these unnecessary medical tests. Now, I'm not saying that there's tests you shouldn't do, and I'm not saying there's things that you shouldn't do and your doctor tells you to. What I'm saying is this. Guys, get a second opinion before you start getting yourself into this ditch with a $10,000 deductible and a $10,000 bill from the hospital. Really important. Guys, thank you for listening. Love the show today. High energy, really fast. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thank you for supporting Health Masters. Thanks for everything you do. Thanks for your prayers. Gosh, I mean, incredible. Just sit here a couple days after a hurricane goes through and absolutely looking at the beautiful sky outside and realize that, again, God protected me as He always does. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. We have to maintain that covenant relationship. Guys, I appreciate you. Thank you so much. I love you. Austin, I'll let you go ahead and close. I'll do the write-up. God bless you guys. Talk to you tomorrow.
Absolutely, man. We definitely appreciate it. And, yes, Abs, if you guys need anything, healthmasters.com. You guys know where to find us. You got 1-800-726-1834. Please call us up if you need anything. We've gotten a lot of phone calls all week. You know, a lot of people calling in, checking on us, seeing where your orders are at, ordering product. And, yes, letting everybody know we are 100% back up and running, operational this week. All of your orders have gone out now. We've gotten caught up to everything. I think pretty much yesterday we were done, but I know 100% we are caught up today. So we appreciate all the prayers and support, like Dad said. And be sure to check out all the different kits we have on the website at healthmasters.com, including the Alpha Male Stack, the Hagman Blood Sugar Kit, the Dave Hodges Healthy Joint Program, and a bunch of other health kits that we've put together that are discounted. And also be sure to check out the Product of the Week, very popular setup that we did a while back ago where we allow you guys to vote on the products that you want to win to be discounted. So every week on Wednesday, whatever product had the highest amount of votes, we put it on sale, whichever one it is, for a specific amount and allow you guys to have a discount on it. So it's a way for you guys to connect with us and let us know what you want to buy, what you're interested in purchasing of. And, you know, a lot of times when we do that, people stock it up. You know, when something's 5, 10, 15% off on sale, we've had customers say, hey, man, I take that every day. I'm going to order 6, 10, 12 of them from you. And we love that because we love being able to help everybody out the best we can. So be sure to check that out, the magnesium Dead Sea Oil, which is incredibly good, supports healthy heart, joints, really, really good to rub all over the elbows and knees and ankles, especially if you're working out a lot. Really seems to lubricate the joints and reduce inflammation. Magnesium is so crucial to the body, and so that's on sale right now for over 10% off. And be sure to check out the other products that you can vote on Product of the Week. Let us know what you like so we can put them on sale, and you guys can turn around and get the benefits of it. But we appreciate the support. Email us if you need anything, guys. You go up to the contact search bar and type in the word contact in the search bar at the top and fill out the form and send it to us. We have a lot of emails right now, as always, so we're always trying to answer them as fast as possible. So we appreciate your patience and we appreciate your support, guys. You have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.